episode 211 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany, David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Yeah, lots of hoops. Finally starting back up. Have a bunch of leagues that have already started, and a few more going to be going this weekend, and then a whole bunch more in 2 weeks. And then by, middle of October, pretty much everybody will be playing. So lots of basketball to watch. Pretty exciting to be able to watch it. Just lots of stuff to be able to go out there and get your fill on online, or live in your area, wherever that may be. So I guess before we talk too much about it, let's let you know how you can get in contact with the show. Obviously, there is Twitter available at Hein News, HEINNEWS. There's the Facebook group, which is Taking the Charge Podcast. Just put that in there. You'll reach the group. Then the website, HeinNews.com. The email address is HeinNews@GMX.de. And I guess that's about it. Go to iTunes, rate and review the show. Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word, if you want to support the show. It'd be much appreciated to show us the love. All right, so was mentioning the just internationally wise, the Champions League, the Basketball Champions League tipped off yesterday with the first games of the first qualification round. 8 games were yesterday, to the second, the return legs basically, will be on Thursday the 29th, and then after that is the second qualifying round. Just checking that right now. So, and then I believe by the 15th or somewhere in there, let's see real quick, October 4th and 6th, Tuesday, Thursday, is the second qualification round. And then the whole big old Basketball Champions League starts on October 18th. October 18th is the start of the Champions League. The EuroLeague, the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague with a capital L, noted, tips off with Real Madrid against Olympiacos on October 12th. The other rest of the games on the 13th and the 14th. And the Euro Cup, the, what are we calling it? The 7 days Euro Cup, I guess is what it's called this year, starts on October 12th as well. So really just over 2 weeks left, and international basketball will be in full swing. I guess I could let you know the FIBA Europe Cup. See if I can get that real quick. Then everything, all the leagues, all the domestic leagues, although I think there might be one or two that are still lagging behind, if you will. Then everybody will be up and running. Champions League, obviously not big. Not any big names going on right now. You have Tartu Rock, which is Tartu Rock is a name that some people know. Cluj will actually be the Romanians. They'll be hosting. They'll be the co-host city for Romania at EuroBasket. Catania, the Finnish. They had a big win over Sudetalia to start it. Porto, Benfica, the two Portuguese, and Varese. Obviously, a pretty prominent name back in the day in Italy. We're gonna We have already basketball, international basketball going on. So happy to see that. And, yeah, like we said, Champions League, the EuroLeague and the EuroCup are going to be starting up too. So I had a chance to go to German to the opening game of the Easy Credit BBL on Friday. Went to see Bamberg. Yeah, kind of wallop. Frankfurt, Fraport Skyliners. Bamberg, man, they're going to be tough. They are going to be a very good team this year. You look at, you know, the main guy they lost was Wanamaker, really the only guy from their main rotation. Andy Opes went to Gießen, 96 born. But really, Wanamaker's the only guy they lost, and you know Fabian Kosser was a pretty nice addition. Another really good point guard, Vladimir Veremenko. You know, once he gets really integrated into the system, he gives them a great big body that they didn't have last year. And then when Mauro Loh gets up to speed with the level of play and the system and everything else, I think he's going to be another big factor over the course of the year. And I mean, as long as they stay relatively healthy, I think they are the favorites in Germany, maybe along with Bayern Munich. Bayern came up with a nice 14-point win at Oldenburg to open the season. For those who don't know Germany very well, Munich to Oldenburg is quite a haul to get up there. So to grab that away victory to start the season is pretty good. Ludwigsburg also a nice road victory at Würzburg in a battle of playoff teams from last year. Ludwigsburg, Champions League team. Looks like it's actually pretty good, again, with John Patrick. And then the runners-up, Ratio Farm Ulm, who will be playing EuroCup. Got a nice overtime win at Bayreuth. Chris Babb played pretty well. And they've restocked. They lost pretty much nobody. I can't remember the one guy that did leave. Pierre Henry, I think, was the guy who left. And they got some nice pieces. Tim Albrecht came back. Braden Hobbs showed up. And I think we had talked about all this already last week or the week before. But a nice victory. Nice victory for Ulm in Bayreuth. So this is the first week of – that was the first week of German hoops. A couple of the other leagues that are going on that have already gone through the Czechs, they're playing their second group of games already today. Ireland are in their second week. Lithuania have already played two games. Romania, Britain. Romania 2 weeks already. Britain, they're in their second week. France are in their second week this weekend. The big game over the first game, game day of the season saw Le Mans beat Strasbourg. I think it was 73-71. Le Mans won at home. Strasbourg, obviously the runners up last year to Asvel. They obviously have new coach with Henrik Detman there, so that's going to be an interesting team to watch. What Strasbourg looks like this year with Henrik Detman at the helm. This weekend, today on Wednesday, the 28th, Latvia and Ukraine start up. Spain start this weekend. Italy starts this weekend. Belgium starts this weekend. And then the somewhat, we'll call them smaller leagues, Kosovo, Luxembourg, and Norway. Shout out to Norway basketball on the podcast. Not too bad. So I guess that's about it of news. You know, really, just really looking forward to the international ball starting up. You know, looking forward to getting some bigger teams getting kicked in and at the Champions League. See where these let's call them smaller clubs, who they're going to be playing against. So yeah, that's I guess that's most of the news. Actually, I have 4 interviews. I had a chance, like I said, to go to Bamberg, and that was actually, despite being a blowout of 29 points for Bamberg, it was a pretty good chance to see a couple of young German players. Nicholas Kiel, 97 power forward, started for Skyliners, and they're going to need him to really play well, especially with the departure of Arne Donnekamp. He struggled a little bit. You know, I think it's going to take him a little bit, but I think he'll be a pretty big part of their team, of their club this year. So I had a chance to talk to him, and the other two guys that interviewed were Luis Alinda, one of the prizes talents from the 98 generation, who, you know, if the under 18 European Championship is played, you know, will be one of their, probably one of Germany's leaders. He actually played 12 minutes, got 2 points at the end, 2 free throws at the end, which was really good. Made his, that was his professional debut. He's come to Bamberg on a long-term deal. And then the last 28 seconds, we had a chance to see Isaac Bonga, obviously the super talent, 99 generation. So I had a chance to talk to all 3 of them. Start with Nicholas Kiel. Go by the oldest to youngest. So it'd be Nicholas Kiel, heading down to Luis Alinda, and then Isaac Bonga. So enjoy those 3, and we'll catch you on the other side of them.
Nicholas Kiel, we're here, the season opener of the Easy Credit BBL. Obviously, Bamberg is a very, very good team. You guys are very young, and you know, not having Philip here too kind of hurts as well. In general, thoughts about the season opener?
I mean, we could see today that we have a lot of work to do. We're not really. We don't really play as a team actually, but I think that's also a matter of time. But yeah, Bamberg is a very good team. It was a tough test for today, but yeah, we got to keep working.
What did it feel like for you, you know, really getting out there, starting the game, and you know, really playing some important minutes? What did it feel like for you, knowing after last year, you know, going through an injury and then going through the studies and everything? What's it mean for you to get out there and play that number of minutes?
No, I'm very proud that the whole club and also the coach believes in me, and yeah, I'm very thankful, and yeah, I just want to give back the respect and the trust the team got in me, and I mean, when you play, you get better. So,
how'd you get better today?
Yeah, of course. I mean, against Bamberg, against Melli or Thijs, European top players, it's always nice to play. You can see where you're at and how they play, and you can just learn.
What kind of expectations do you have for yourself this year? I mean, you know, obviously with Danilo and Joe gone, you know, you're going to be needed a little bit more in the post. What kind of expectations do you have?
I mean, I want to show me in the league that I can play, and now I'm ready for the league. But I mean, I still have a lot of work to do. I got to improve my body, to improve so much of things. So yeah.
What are you working on in your game? You know, over the summer, you know, you didn't go national team to the U20s, stayed with the club, worked out individually with them, and you know, what did you improve on?
I think I was able to improve my body. I think I added 5 or 6 kilos during summer, and also improved my shot. Now it's time to show that I can shoot, and just gotta be active and show that I can play.
What's it like being with this club? You know, they just get, you know, Isaac made his debut. Garay's, you know, made his debut last year with you. What's it be like with this club that just keeps you know, giving the responsibility to the kids.
I mean, that's the way how you get better. You just get better when you play. And I think for all of our German guys, it's a very good and nice situation. And yeah, we got to practice and we got to use our chances.
What's good with that, man? So Linda, your opening game of the season, your debut as a professional. You had the two free throws at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Final touches on a victory. I guess feelings. What's it mean for you to be in this game and make your debut in the first game?
It was a great feeling. It's unbelievable. Like in this team and in front of this, like in this fans, it's great. It's just great. And yeah, coach sat me in. I was a little bit nervous at the beginning, but I found a little bit in the game and yeah, try to do what the team expects from me. And then yeah, two lucky free throws. Yeah, couldn't be better.
What kind of expectations do people have for you here in the club? I mean, you're still 18. You know, you're just at the beginning of your journey. What kind of expectations do they have for you? Let's say for the first few months.
Yeah, develop as much as possible. So step my game on another level and like maybe get the first professional minutes like today. And yeah, let's see what the season brings. Maybe some more minutes or like. Yeah, some major minutes in the Pro A team. Yes.
When did you find out that you might that you were going to be included on the 12-man? I know Lowe's been a little bit injured. When did you find out that you're going to be on the 12-man?
Yeah, it was the day before yesterday. So okay. We had practice in Lowe. I think he twisted his ankle a little bit, and then yeah. For me, it was an opportunity. Coach said to me yesterday, "Hey, Luis, you're on the roster, maybe you get some minutes." I was like excited, was ready to play. Yeah.
What'd your dad say to you?
Nothing yet. No, I didn't talk. Hey, before he said like use your chance, do as best as possible, and yeah.
How do you think you did?
I think it was okay. It could be better. It could be always better, but for the beginning it was solid. It was okay.
At the end of the game, you also saw the last 28 seconds, Isaac Bonga come on, make his professional debut as well. You guys had a nice little embrace here at half court. What'd you say to one another, and what's it mean to have him also in this game?
I was happy for him when he got on the court. I think he's a great player and he deserved it. Of course, he deserved it. And yeah, I said him good luck for the season. He said good luck to me. And I think, yeah, it was great. It was great.
Expectations for the next couple weeks. What do you want to do? Season just starting, Pro A. It's going to be starting up soon. Just in general, what do you want to do?
Tomorrow, the first Pro A game. Like, take responsibility. Like, really lead the team and play as good as possible. And of course, like, practice with a professional team. Yeah, get some lessons from the veterans and like learn as much as possible.
Let's go with that, Isaac Bonga, 28.8 seconds coming in to the game. Your thoughts about making your debut?
It was like great feeling to. This one, I was like my first BBL game. Was a little bit shy, a little bit nervous, but try to do the best out of it.
Maybe just thoughts about in general where you're at with this team. You know they've always said they're going to give young kids a chance to play if they deserve the chance. Talking to Gunnar Vupka last week, he said, you know, it's up to him about you. It's up to him if he makes it so that he deserves to play, then he will play. Just where do you think you're at as far as this team?
Think like it's like every time something like practice how I practice. So, for example, if I practice good, like coach see like how I develop like in like two four weeks. You gotta see like okay, maybe you're gonna play, maybe not. Maybe I'm a little bit too young, but doesn't matter. In the end, of the end, and I hope I'm gonna play some games, a couple of games.
It's a thing you're working on right now. I mean, obviously you're so young and there's so many things that you can and will work on, but you know, right now, in order to, you know, be able to play at a high level in the Pro B and then also to maybe get some games here.
I'm working like on my body to be stronger, get like to be better on my defense, something like closeouts or something like that. I think that's like my strongest weakness. And I think if I'm gonna get like this body, I'm thinking I'm ready to play.
This was a packed house of 6,000. You know, when you go play Pro B, you're not going to see that. You know, you have your long-term contract with Frankfurt. You know, any NBA thing is you know, a couple years away. How do you go into this year knowing, all right, my contract is set. You know, now I have to work and just avoid everything else. Is that something that you're saying to yourself, hey, just forget about what everybody else says and just prove yourself now? Or how do you go into this year?
Yeah, sure, because I'm going to see, like, I want to be want to get better, just to practice, sometimes to play like BBL, Pro B, and now this crowd was really fantastic, 6,000 people, it was like something new for me. And Pro B, okay, I don't know how many people are going to watch the game, but I hope I'm going to play good. And yeah, I hope all gonna be good.
Just in general now, you know, Pro B is gonna be starting up. What role do you want to play there? And what have they told you that you're gonna be able to do there?
Told me like I want to be like a leader, kind of leader in Pro B. I think I'm gonna play like 35 minutes. So it means like more than BBL, and I have to do my stuff, and I'm gonna do my stuff. I'm sure about that.
If we look at the stats in the Pro B during the year, what's the stat you're gonna look at so that we know what we should look at as far as what you do? You know, whatever, you know, shooting percentage, 3-point shooting percentage, assist turnover ratio. What's the stat that you're gonna really, you know, sort of worry about and that maybe people who watch you and watch your development who really can't watch those games, you know, to say, okay, well, this is what he's doing or this is what he's not doing?
I think I'm gonna watch my turnovers, so to lower it down, and on my assist and rebound games. I think that's one of my biggest strengths, like for example slashing game, could penetrate to the basket, kick out the pass, assist, so I'm kind of creator to create for my players, so I think I'm looking for assist and good turnover.
And you're in the point guard role right now? I mean, that's what they're gonna put you in now?
Yeah, they're gonna put me on the point guard role. Sometimes I'm gonna play two, but also point guard, so like my main thing.
Biggest memory of today? Biggest memory?
Like this game to come in 28 minutes was really special feelings, like just because of this crowd, and hope it's gonna happen again.
Let's go with that, man.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff. You know, obviously 28 seconds you're not gonna see very much, but definitely need to try to figure out where Frankfurt's gonna be playing. And he'll get in. Bunga will get in some games. All three, I think, will play this year. Bunga will get in some games this year. I am certain of that. In some BBL games, I mean. Kiel, like we said, was going to be one of their is going to be a real important factor for them. And I think Olinda will actually play as well, mainly because he's German and can play a couple of you know, I guess he could probably play both power both forward positions. And just with that EuroLeague schedule and the BBL on top, you know, both of them, and they're gonna need to rest their guys. Bamberg is going to need to rest their guys, and I think Olinda is going to get some reps in there. Leon Kratzer, the 97 power center, just really a big dude. And he got some minutes as well, and I think he'll probably get some more minutes as well. Both of them, obviously, just main, you know, a big reason is because they're Germans and they need to have the six Germans on the roster. So I think both of those guys will get in some games. Also because I think Bamberg will be blowing out some teams. All right, so you know, I do a lot of interviews when I'm out on the road, and usually I try to use them up in a pretty timely fashion. Every now and again, one will actually slip through cracks and will go unused for a while. And that's the case with the next interview. For those who may be waiting, who have been kind of going through this podcast and wondering and waiting for this interview, sorry about that. You wanted to get the current stuff out of the way, if you will. Back at the under 17 European World Championship in Spain, I had a chance to talk to Bruce Pearl, who was who's the head coach at Auburn, and just a great personality, and I just was really excited to have a chance to go and talk to him. And like I said, somehow the interview, just over the months, weeks and months, whatever, just kind of got put on the back burner and then got forgot. And with my, traveling and stuff like that. I just realized it yesterday or this morning and said, you know what, let's get this in there. It's a nice little chat. The other interviews, the three interviews, weren't too long with the Bonga, Keelan Olinda. So I figured, put this one in there. Again, this was back in July. It was obviously he was at Tennessee, so it gives us some really great memories of Pat Summitt. He was coach of Tennessee, and she was the women's coach there. The legendary Pat Summitt, who died shortly before the can't remember actually when she died. It was probably sometime mid late June. And I gave some great insight into that, and just some general, just fantastic stuff. So here's my interview with Bruce Pearl. Enjoy that, and I'll catch you on the other side.
Okay, Coach Pearl, we are in Spain. We are checking out some great basketball at the Under 16. Under 17 FIBA Basketball World Championship. Maybe just first in general, how much exposure have you actually had to international basketball? How often do you get out to see international tournaments? I know that a lot of that depends on your allowed dates to actually go out. But I mean, how much do you actually, or have you in the past, gone out and see international ball?
I've actually been to Germany one time to scout international basketball, and it was probably at this same tournament.
2010?
Yeah, 2010.
Mm-hmm. In Hamburg, where it was really hot.
It was in Hamburg, yeah, it was hot. I walked all over the city. It was very, very special. Take my teams overseas every 4 years, which the NCAA allows, and we've been to Europe on a couple of occasions, and had a chance to coach in Israel in 2009, coach the Maccabiah, the United States team. We won the gold medal. And so, just to be able to see the world, it makes it a smaller place when you're able to leave Atlanta and get into Spain and Madrid. And I'm very much a kumbaya, why can't we all get along guy. So I do like to visit places and see people and, just visit different countries and wonder why can't we get along? We're all people. We're all God's children. We're all just trying to take care of our families and live a good life. So there's some troubling things about all the trouble in the world. When I go out internationally, it just makes me want to say, let's compete on the court and let's be friends off the court.
Yeah, for sure. Especially now with what happened in Turkey, Istanbul. We're here at this competition. You were at the competition 6 years ago. Let's say a kid who is thinking about going to college. How important is it for you guys to see him at the national team level? Because they're high school players, even from other countries.
Yep.
That are here playing for their national team. How important is it for you guys to see them with their national teams, where they might have to take a subordinate role and whatever. Maybe just talk about that, the difference between seeing him at the club or AAU and with the national team.
It's very important to see him against the best competition. And yes, you've got to be able to look beyond, you know, what their roles may be here. But, you know, the coaches are playing the best players. The coaches are going to put the players they think are the best in the more prominent positions. And so I'm scouting every team, and I'm scouting them all, you know, with some level of understanding of who's a pro and who's not a pro already, but at the same time really not knowing with several teams and evaluating them. And there's been a player or two off of every team. I'm going to have my assistant coaches kind of do the research and find out, is this guy not a pro yet? Has he got any interest in going to college to either further his education or that's got to be something I would imagine that is, you know, very unique to each individual as to whether or not they want to go to the United States to study and be coached, or whether they want to stay and be a pro, or whether or not they want to stay in their own country because they don't feel like leaving. But we're going to inquire, and you know, I've coached international players before, and they're tough, they're great, they're grateful, they're not spoiled, they don't feel entitled, they want to be coached, they want to work hard, they want to get better, and I think so many times they're really good for chemistry. So we're gonna go take a look. We've got international players on Auburn's campus, like in swimming and diving and the golf team and the tennis team. And so there's some really good courses of study for students. We just haven't had an international basketball player in a long time.
Let's go to Auburn a little bit. This is your second year now. There's gonna be a lot of turnover. Maybe what kind of you went into the last season with a certain expectation. You know, it wasn't a supremely successful year, but you know, you had a certain idea what it could be. How satisfied were you with what happened last year, and what kind of expectations do you have for next season?
You know, we've made progress. I've been there 2 years. My first year, we won 3 games in the SEC tournament, got to the Final Four of the SEC tournament. That hasn't happened in 30 years of Auburn basketball, so that was progress. And then last year, we beat Kentucky and Alabama in back-to-back games, and you know, we won at Arkansas. We had our moments. I had a lot of injuries last year, and so we did not. We had a disappointing year, but we're selling out games. We've got a great home court advantage. We're recruiting very, very well, and I will do at Auburn what I've done every place that I've been in college coaching, and that's win. It just hasn't happened as quickly, and I've got a very good young team. A good foundation is laid, and I would think we can get into the middle of our league this year, which could put us in postseason.
Last NCAA appearance was 2003. Also important, maybe that changes what you help recruiting. Last NBA draft pick was 2001.
Yep.
How quickly do you think both of those could change?
I think they within the next 2 years. And that's the great thing about the challenge. Auburn is a great university, one of the finest in the southeastern part of the country. We win at everything. You know, in all sports. You know, we won a national championship in football in 2010 with Cam Newton. You know, our softball team finished second in the country. Our equestrian team wins. But it's been a long time since men's basketball has been good. Charles Barkley, Chuck Person in the 80s, and then Chris Porter and that group in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And since then, they haven't won. I think I'm going to win within the next 2 years, and so that's going to be very significant. And I'm very, very excited about the future.
You had the break between Tennessee and your start at Auburn. Looking back, what kind of things did you take from that? Or now looking back, what kind of things did you take from that break?
When I lost my job at Tennessee, I lost my ministry, if you would, in the sense that, yes, coaching basketball is important, but you're making a difference in young people's lives and graduating them and helping them, you know, grow up and become men and be great fathers and, you know, husbands. And yeah, that's the thing. I lost my ministry. I did miss the game in a lot of ways. I missed teaching. And here's the biggest thing. As a coach and a teacher, everything that I've accomplished because I led others to do the work. When I was a TV analyst for ESPN, I was an independent contractor. And I may or may not have been good at what I was doing. Some people like my work. but it was the first time in my life that it was just me. And it wasn't quite frankly as satisfying, that I got more enriched when I was able to guide others to greatness rather than just myself. Yeah.
You mentioned Chuck Person. He's on your staff. Obviously, probably the biggest name in basketball in Auburn is Barkley. How much communication do you have with him, and maybe what's he been like for you?
Charles Barkley's been a great friend. He's been a great supporter. He calls and texts all the time just to check on me. He knows my family. He knows them by name. He cares. Charles Barkley's the real deal. He is 100% authentic. He will tell you what he thinks, even if it's socially, politically correct or incorrect. He's got a great heart. He's got a great mind. He's a very smart man. But he cares. He treats people well. He doesn't just treat the big time people well. He treats everybody well. He's a really, really good man. And I'm going to be so gratified. There will be nobody that I will be more pleased for than Charles Barkley and Chuck Person when we get Auburn basketball to the NCAA tournament. It's almost like doing it for them is going to be the most satisfying part of this whole thing.
A lot of people know you with the orange painted, with the white tee on your chest. The Tennessee family obviously lost a huge personality. You were close with her just because obviously you have the basketball, and she was just such a huge personality as well. Your thoughts about, you know, I mean, it had been a little bit coming just because she had a bad condition and everything, but in general, thoughts about it that they're actually passing?
Well, I think being a show that's going to be international, obviously a record speaks for itself. But one of the great things about our country is that Pat Summitt can grow up on a farm in Middle Tennessee, nobody from nowhere. And because of the game of basketball, she was able to earn a scholarship to a very small school in Tennessee. But she did the most with everything as a player. And then at age 22 years old, she gets to coach the University of Tennessee. No woman coach in the history of any sport has ever had more impact on women and sports than Pat Summitt. She blazed a trail. She was truly an icon. She made watching women's basketball something that television started to do in the 80s and 90s before it became fashionable. And you know, before Title IX, and when our country sort of had greater equality between men and women in sports that was legislated by the government, Pat insisted that those women be given the same opportunities as men, and she got it done. She set expectations for you that you just work so hard to try to live up to. And the great sadness about it is that, you know, she passed so young. She had so much more, you know, that she could have given, but her legacy will live on forever. And certainly it's a very, very sad day.
You have one moment that you remember most, like when you hear I know there's probably so many.
No, I mean, look, I mean, you know, she'd watch my practice, and, you know, halfway through practice, she'd walk down the floor and she'd say, "Now, what was that drill?" I said, "Well, that was a fast break drill." She said, "There's nothing fast about that break, Bruce. There was nothing fast about that break." And so, you know, she could say, you know, and, you know, the first time I ever met Pat Summitt, first time I met her, okay, I got the job at Tennessee. I'm nobody from nowhere, coming from Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Right. My fourth day on the job, I'm in Philadelphia. And she is playing the great C. Vivian Stringer in an NCAA regional final. She wins the game, and I'm sitting in the stands. Everybody from Tennessee all came down on the floor. They all went in the locker room, and I didn't want to because I didn't know her. I had not met her. I sat in the stands and waited at it. She recognized the fact that I was at the game and didn't come down. She walked up the stands, grabbed me by the arm, said, "You are my men's basketball coach. You're going to come down the floor, and we're going to start celebrating. And when you win a championship, I'll be doing the same thing for you." That's the way she was so inclusive, and she treated she had that kind of relationship with every coach there, not just me. So, now those are just a couple of stories that you know, I'll never forget.
Come back to this tournament, come back to international. You kind of mentioned that Auburn might become a little more international. Is that something you're actually going to strive for, or if you just happen to maybe find a couple of guys internationally who fit in?
It's just, that's exactly what it's going to be. You know, we're here primarily to watch the United States team, and there are some prospects on that team that we're very involved with. But at the same time, I've come over before, and you never know when there's going to be a connection. You just never know. I may like some kid on the Lithuanian team, and he in his town there may be a women's tennis player that happens to have gone to Auburn. You just don't know. So I'm going to evaluate the tournament. I'm going to tell my assistant coaches the guys that I liked, and we'll inquire and we'll see. But I can tell you, they're great for chemistry, they're great for toughness, and they want to be coached. And I love coaching international players.
Let's go with that.
Okay. Again, sorry for the delay in running that. But you know, it happens. It happens. But nice little gem there. You know, college basketball is going to be starting up too. They're going to be having their midnight practices probably in the next two, three weeks. Let's see if I can find out. 45, looks like about 45 days. Is that what it is before they start? 45 days or so before they start Auburn, according to Bruce Pearl's Twitter handle. Coach Bruce Pearl, at Coach Pearl. All right, so that is the show. Again, if you want to support the show, it'd be fantastic if you could show some love and make sure that the podcast keeps going. See if we can do some upgrades on some equipment and also some maybe do a couple more trips here, trying to do some more traveling during the season. But obviously all this costs money, so if you could, that'd be fantastic. Last thing, obviously, let you know what you're going to be listening to. And the song this week is called Emperor of San Francisco. It's by The Invasion, and it is available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy that. Go enjoy all this great basketball. And, so Spain starts up this weekend. Italy starts up this weekend. France is going already. Most of the big nations then will have already started. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to have EuroLeague, Champions League, Euro Cup all in their regular seasons as well. So by that time, it's going to be rocking and rolling. So, just around the corner for everything else. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week.
I saw you in the corner of a seedy two-bit bar, won your hand and lost my heart in a game of cards. Would you believe I'm the king of the hill? And would you believe
My name is Dario Šarić. You listen and Take It to Charge.